feel the same. You know, it's interesting because this is a time of peace and goodwill towards men. We had carols last night, carols today. For me, for us pastors and those in ministry, this is the busiest and most hectic time of the year. It is so hectic. I'm thinking, peace and goodwill towards men? You've got to be kidding. But you realise that there's only 2 days a year in Australia where Coles and Woolies shut, and that's on Jesus' birth and Jesus' death. Muhammad doesn't do that here. Neither does Buddha. Neither does any other religion. And I'm not putting people down that believe those false religions, because they are false. There's only one truth. I know that can sound harsh, but Jesus Christ didn't say, I am one of the many ways, one of the many truths, one of the many lives. He said, I am the way. Therefore, every other way is wrong. I am the truth. Therefore, everyone else claiming to be the truth is a lie. And I am the way, the only way to God the Father. And it's amazing that we are celebrating one of the greatest events that shuts down the country for a whole day. It's amazing because Jesus is the first and the last. His birth and his death close down everything. In other countries, they celebrate other religious festivals sometimes, but Christ is the only one that can make such an impact in this country. And imagine if we open our hearts to allow his spirit to work through us, to do everything he wants to accomplish. You know, it's a powerful thing having the presence of the Holy Spirit. You see, Christmas is Emmanuel. Emmanuel was not just a name given to Jesus at his birth. It's still his name now. So it's not that God was with us. God is with us. When Jesus went up to heaven, he said he left us another comforter. The word another, it means another one exactly like me. And he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's here with us now, just how he was when he came here as a baby 2,000 years ago. If the church could comprehend that, we wouldn't be Baptists, Pentecostals, Charismatics or Asthmatics. Just want to make sure you're hearing me. We'd be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit in such a way that we will see his presence moving. And you know, the Apostle Peter and Paul, their shadows, their hankies were healing people. We'd say, oh, that's heresy. Well, there you go, they were heretics then. They did greater miracles than Jesus. His shadow never healed anybody. Well, greater than Jesus. Jesus said, he that believes in me will do greater miracles than I. We believe in him, but what's going on? Where's the greater miracles? As John said, the church needs to wake up. And when we wake up to understanding that Christmas is Emmanuel. See, Jesus is here right now. And I know if I say to people, if Jesus was to come into this church right now in person here, what would you do? And everyone would say, I'd never want to go home. I want to be all day here. I want to be praising and worshiping. So really, we don't believe he's here now because we can't wait to go home after this service. I got you there, didn't I? Is he really here now? Where two or three are gathered, he's not there in the midst of them, is he? Is he? How about today we believe? How about today we take a step of faith and believe that he is Emmanuel? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I love Emmanuel, God with us. That's what makes us different to religions, that we have a God who lives in us and through us. And he'll never leave us or forsake us. In there's a few verses I want to read to you. In Isaiah 9:6, we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Excuse me, that says he's God. I remember talking to a Jehovah's Witness years ago, and I said, look at this, you say he's not God. How come it calls him Mighty God? And the answer was, oh yeah, he's Mighty God, but he's not Almighty God. I wanted to lay holy hands on somebody. I'm like, come on, what about Everlasting Father? Oh, you know, there's many fathers. I'm like, come on. You could twist anything you want, but here, we're told that this Wonderful Counselor is Mighty God, everlasting Father. Jesus is God. There's no doubt about it. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. In Matthew 1:23, quoting Isaiah 7:14, Matthew says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is it God was with us or God is with us? Is he here today? Is he in you? If you've been born again, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. I don't care what denomination or background you are. This is about what the Word of God says. And if we believe that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, guess what? We're more than conquerors, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And as we walk, the presence of God walks in us, and every demon in hell has to scatter because they are defeated foes. But do you believe that? That's the difference. If you don't believe it, doesn't matter. It's not going to impact your life, because the just shall live by, and it's only by faith that we can overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God with us. Not God was with us. God is still with us, and God is going to continue to be with us. This excites me so much. I love all the Christmas stuff and the Christmas trees and the baby Jesus in the manger and all that stuff. That's beautiful. But if that's all we had to celebrate, that's nice. Christmas means nothing without Easter. It's a fact that he died, but hang on. So did Muhammad. But they still got his bones. They still have his body. Muhammad did not do one single miracle. He did not bring peace. He died a terrible death with terrible disease. And he was a pedophile. Evil men, wars, killed people. Jesus did not kill anybody, but he rose them from the dead. He came to bring peace. He fed the hungry. Bless the little children, didn't take advantage of them. Now we need to be, I know that some of what I'm saying is politically incorrect. That's what I think of politically incorrect. My only correctness comes from the Word of God. You know, and either we stand for the truth or we fall for every single lie under heaven. And it's not about disrespecting people, but it's about standing up for the truth. And Jesus is Emmanuel. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God." And then in verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh." In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So we have mighty God, everlasting Father, Emmanuel, God with us, the Word of God, made flesh. I could go on and on and on. Jesus is God. I don't comprehend that how he could be God and the Son and the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the three are one. So I don't understand it, but I accept it and I believe it. One day it will make sense. Right now, I just trust him and believe him because it does my head in. I can't work it out, but I know it's true. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, these verses all talk about the gift of Christmas. I mean, I've got to focus on this because to me, as we get to Christmas, I'm like, oh, them jolly carols again. You know, I was talking to the minister across the road, Graham. He's a beautiful man of God. He loves Jesus. He's awesome. He's awesome, the Anglican minister. Oh, he's passionate for Jesus. I love him, beautiful man. And we're talking yesterday, and he goes, "Oh, can you come a bit earlier to the carols and walk around if they need help here, pick this up, go and pick up some power leads and give them to John and stuff." And I'm like running around, I'm thinking, any chance I could minister to people in the process? Any chance I could do? Not that I think I'm too good for that. I love rolling up my sleeves and helping out. But it's like I can't wait till this season is over from a fleshly perspective. But this season excites me from a spiritual perspective because it makes us focus. Gives us an opportunity. What a great opportunity the council has given us. Just out there today, all the churches are coming together and we're going to sing Christian carols with a message of salvation, and we're going to give a little short message. I think my message took about a minute yesterday. I don't think anyone was listening, so the kids were. But that's all right. It's not about that. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be salt and light, to proclaim who Jesus is. And we just trust the Holy Spirit to do the rest. You see, what a great opportunity we have at Christmas time to talk about the real reason for the season. Christ coming to earth in human form. The Word became flesh. I love that. The Word became flesh. So the child who's given to us is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's Emmanuel. He's God, God with us. He is the Everlasting Father, Mighty God, God in human form, born as us, amongst us. Now, this is interesting, because the presence of the God who created us in His image now comes to this world in our image. The God who created us in His image comes and is born as one of us in our likeness and image. He humbles Himself down to our level to show us love like no other religion can or ever will be able to. Religion demands from you. Christianity gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. It's not for God so loved the world that He asks of you. It's not so God so loved the world that He says, try harder, do more. He says, just come unto me, believe in me, trust in me. And then on that cross He said, it is finished. And when He said it is finished, you can't add anything to the finished work of Christ on the cross. But we need to believe. We need to embrace it. We need to embrace it because God is still with us. God and man become one in the person of this child born of a virgin. The presence of the God who He could not be looked upon in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was said, if you looked at God, you would die. In the New Testament, God comes to this earth, looks us in the eye, touches the lepers, which was you couldn't do, touches dead bodies, which religious people couldn't do, talks to Samaritan women, prostitutes, offers them help, salvation, forgiveness, restoration. He heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out demons. Even the demons recognize Jesus. And you know, if you have Jesus in you, the demons recognize you too. Because remember the seven sons of Sceva? They thought, let's try this Jesus trick on people. And they went up to some demon-possessed person and said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we cast you out. And the demons turned around and said, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who the heck are you? And they jumped out of the men and they stripped these guys naked and they ran out. So it's important to know the name of Jesus, but does hell know you? Are you hell's biggest nightmare? Come on. Are you hell's biggest nightmare? Don't be scared of hell. Hell should be scared of you because He that is in you is greater. Amen? You have greatness in you. When Jesus was here, He said, I am the light of the world. Now, listen, I'm so excited. I knew you. Don't forget what I'm saying. And if this helps you, soon I'm going to jump from chair to chair. It's going to be really interesting because I don't think I can do it. I have no idea what I'm doing up here, but you all look good. Listen, you need to know this. You need to know this, that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, when He went away, what did He say? Who's the light of the world now? You are. He said, you are the light of the earth. You are the light of the world. The problem is, do we believe it? Because if we did, wherever we walk, there comes the light and darkness is expelled and demons will have to flee. I have a funny feeling that if we truly believe that, now, this is my thing, okay? This is not, I'm not using the Bible. I could be wrong. I think if we truly believe that and embrace that, if we were to walk through a cemetery, bang, the bodies will come back to life. That I believe that. And if you don't believe me, I'll walk past your mother-in-law's grave and you pay me not to. You probably say, I'll pay you $100 if you don't. You heard the joke about the family that went to Israel with their mother-in-law, and the mother-in-law died. Sorry, Russell. The things that come to me, I can't turn back now. The mother-in-law died, and the Jewish people said, we've got good news and bad news. It's going to cost you a lot of money to take her back to Australia to do her burial, but good news is we could do a funeral right here in Jerusalem. Very, very cheap. And the guy thought about it. He goes, no, I'm taking her back home. And I said, why would you want to do that? And he goes, because I heard that a guy died here 2,000 years ago and he came back to life. I'm not taking any risks. I'm leaving in 4 weeks. So I'm just going to give everything I've got. Everything I've got. Oh, you're going to be looking forward to your new pastor. I promise you. Look. See, God is Emmanuel. It's good to have fun in church, isn't it? I just hope the next guy can make you laugh like me. That was a nasty thing to say, wasn't it? But I enjoy saying things like that. Now, in the presence of Jesus, like I said, 4 more weeks, there is no need. There was no need in the presence of Jesus. He's our all in all. You see, there's no need to fear the darkness or evil because he had power over demons. He cast out demons. There was no need to worry about hunger because he multiplies the loaves and the fish. I'd love Jesus to come to a picnic with me. I don't need to pack my lunch. I just say, do your thing. Here's a bit of bread, 2 fish. Get the 12 basket loads. I'm taking some leftovers home. What a great thing. There's no need when Jesus is around. There's no need to worry about sickness when Jesus was around because he healed everyone he touched or he even spoke a word and they were healed. When Jesus was around, there was no need to worry about storms because he calmed them. When Jesus was around, you didn't have to worry about the waters coming over your head because he walks on water. Now, that's when he was here. That's when he was Emmanuel. Is he still Emmanuel? Uh-oh. But is he still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Does he still heal the sick and raise the dead? Can he still cast out demons? Can he still multiply the loaves and the fishes? Okay, church, it's time to get up and be all we were created to be. To live by faith, to walk by faith. Not do churchianity. That's boring, irrelevant, and a waste of time. We need to be everything God called us to be. What an exciting thing it is to be a Christian. I love it. It might cost you your life. You might get locked up in prison. You're probably going to get shut down from Facebook. All those things. They crucified a guy once with thorns on his head for doing all these things. You know that, don't you? And a servant's not greater than his master. So it's not a walk in the park. But now that he ascended to heaven, he promised that he'll never leave us or forsake us. He says, I'm with you always. Even in Christmas 2025. Even to the end of the age. So what am I getting at? Christmas is Emmanuel. We need to constantly be aware, seek and desire to be in his presence, to keep drawing closer to him. That's my message to you today. Christ calls us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, to set our mind on things above, to trust in him, believe in him, draw closer to him. Just draw closer to him. Why do we struggle so much to sin? Because we're drawn to sin. Imagine if we could just turn our eyes upon Jesus. Everything else starts to fall away. He becomes our all in all. We have to continue to desire to walk closer to him. Not like Peter. Remember Peter said, I'm ready to go to prison and to die for you. He even said, though all these 11 will let you down, not me. Not me. And then you hear, wah, wah, wah. That was a bad rooster, I know, but it's the best I could do. And what did he do before that? He still followed Jesus, but we read afar off. He didn't want to be identified as a Christian. And sometimes we do that. We're willing to say, God, I'll follow you. We'll sing the songs. You know, we'll worship you. I'll lay down my life for you. Then people start to pick on us for being Christians. So I don't know. It says he swore even. He was swearing, I do not know the man. And blasphemy came out of his mouth. So we've got to make sure that we don't just make promises that we're not going to keep, but that we rely on his strength, his love and grace to help us through the challenging times where we will be tempted to deny him. We will be tempted to give in to temptation. That's why we need to pray daily, lead us not into temptation. It's not that he'll lead us into it. It's basically saying, lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil, because it's a daily thing. Daily we're going to be tempted, daily. And some Christians don't like praying that because they enjoy their sin too much. I can't help you unless you're willing to repent and turn to him and say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you don't say that with your whole heart, not even Jesus will step in. He's not going to step in and stop you if you don't want to give it up. You know, I believe a lot of the times I used to say to Jesus, take this sin from me, take it from me, take it. And it's still there. And I'm like, take it, Lord, take it. And I feel like God's looking at me and saying, just open your hands. Then he'll take it. But when you're holding on to it, guess what? You're going to be praying, take it, take it, take it, take it. But you don't want it to go. We need to desire to get closer to Jesus. It needs to be a heart's desire. This Christmas, let's focus about what it's all about. Psalm 68 says, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. The presence of God. Did we just agree that God lives in you? So you have the presence of God in you. And when you allow that presence to shine through, when you become the light of the world as Christ said you would be, guess what happens? Evil melts like wax. Like wax, like a candle, when you turn it on, it just melts away. But we need to believe. Doesn't mean the temptations will not come. King David said, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to walk through many valleys. There's going to be some temptations. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be things we don't like come upon us. So do we give up? No, because he didn't say, though I walk into the valley of the shadow of death, but we walk through it. Today's a new tunnel opening up that costs many billions of dollars that we paid for. Didn't know you were so wealthy, actually. And that's a good thing. It's not bad. But imagine if that tunnel had no way out. The good thing about that tunnel is that you go in one way and you come out the other way. And there's no one cutting you off or anything. It brings you through. But there's a bit of darkness to go through. Sure, there's lights and cameras and stuff, but it can be a bit daunting. But just like that tunnel, you go in one way and you come out the other way. And when you go through that tunnel, they tell me there's cameras, there's safety, everything's in place. And so when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God is still there. He says, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. He'll never leave you or forsake you. In his presence, the enemies will be scattered. He melts the wicked and all his evil against you melt like wax at his presence. At his presence. Moses said in Exodus 33:15, and I'll call the band to come up, when he's talking with God, and God says for them to move, and he goes, if your presence doesn't go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, if you don't go, we're not going. Hold God to that. Tell him what he likes hearing that. Say, God, I ain't going nowhere unless you go with me. Is God going to get upset at you? He's going to say, thank you. Thanks for the invitation. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Like Moses, we're going to say, God, if you're not there, we don't want to be there. There's places we go as Christians, whether we go to those places in our minds, with our bodies, that aren't welcoming to the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit is a dove. John the Baptist said, I saw the Spirit as a dove come upon him. How should we walk? How should we live? We should live with a consciousness of that we have the dove of the Holy Spirit on us. Now, if you have a dove on you, How would you walk? How would you move? Would you suddenly go like that? No, because you scare him away. Would you suddenly jump into places that you shouldn't know? You walk really carefully with a knowledge of this bird on your shoulder because you don't want to scare him away. You're enjoying his presence. And we need to walk around knowing that a spirit is in us and we got a desire to not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. If we do, he'll forgive us when we repent. He will. He's already forgiven us. And sometimes when we talk about grace, it gets misinterpreted that you could do whatever the heck you like and God's happy with you. He's still not happy when we sin. And what happens when we do sin willingly, we do quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever been in a little bit of a disagreement with your spouse, whether husband or wife, and you might have responded in a way that's a bit, and you know, they look at you like, blah, blah, blah. Have you? Of course you have. Come on. Danielle, I can see you laughing, nodding, amen. Poor Kevin is like, smoke's coming out of his head right now. Of course. And you know, what happens at that moment when you're a little bit rude to your spouse? You had a bad day, you were hungry, something bad happened at work. They talk to you and you're like, just leave me alone or whatever. However you respond, what happens? You just quenched something, didn't you? At that moment, if you were to say, can you just put your arms around me and tell me you love me? They'll say, sure, bang. That's what they want to do. They don't want to hug you and love you. If they're wise enough, they'll realize that you're in a bad place. But it takes a lot of grace. Grace that only God can give to do that. But you've quenched the moment. You've grieved that grace that you're looking for. And whilst we can never grieve God's grace, we've got to make sure that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we do, it's okay. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we need to seek his presence. We need to desire his presence. It's time for the church to be Christians, not denominational, to believe that he is who he said he is, Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You see, when they asked Joseph and Mary what his name should be, you would have thought they would have said, oh, no, you can't call him Jesus, you've got to call him Emmanuel. No, they knew that that was a title. It wasn't like what his first name was going to be, it's what his title was. Basically saying, this kid is God in human flesh. That's what Emmanuel is. God in human flesh. We are now the body of Christ. He lives in us. I'm not saying you are God. He is God. But if he lives in you and you are his hands and his feet, guess what? God's presence is right here. I'm looking at the face of Jesus right now. The most beautiful faces I've ever seen in my whole life. The most beautiful presence in the universe is right here. Oh, man. Why does it feel so good right now? Because the light is here and all evil comes. Satan hates this. He hates it when we're aware of this. Friends, let's remember that Jesus Christ is Emmanuel. He always has been. He always will be. God with us. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Thank you for Christmas. And thank you for the challenge that Christmas brings to us. Help us to remember that you are Emmanuel. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That you'll never leave us or forsake us. That we are now the light of the world. That we are the salt of the earth. And help us by your Spirit to do what we cannot do on our own. For we know that it's not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And we ask, we want more of you, Jesus. More of you. In Jesus' name. If you have your communion cups with you, I just want you to think about what you've just heard. I want you to open this up. Now Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. God did what no other religion could do, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. And this reminds us of God's body given for us on the cross. All it requires is faith. Let's all eat together in faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the body of Christ broken on the cross for us to reconcile us back to himself. And we thank you for the cup of the new covenant in your blood. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. Let's drink together in unity. God bless you, church.